Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
Leviticus chapter 3, verse 1. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. He shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. He shall offer the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys it shall take away. And Aaron's sons shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood, and is on the fire, that is the offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if his offering of sacrifice, a peace offering unto the Lord, be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. I am a cook. I mean, I love to cook. And you put a nice piece of meat on a grill, that wonderful smell comes mostly from the fat.
Mm-hmm.
And it says here, that, and nobody can deny the wonderful smell of a good cooking piece of meat.
Yep.
It says over and over here, God relishes that smell. If he offer a lamb for his offering, then shall he offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the offering and kill it there again, transferring his guilt to the animal, the sinless animal, and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron's son shall sprinkle the blood thereof round about upon the altar. Why, Pastor Dave? This is like a blood cult, just slaughtering animals daily, day after day, and it goes back to the garden. When Adam was put in the garden, Adam and Eve were put in the garden, they were sinless. God says, you got one rule, just frolic around here and have fun and don't eat from that tree over there, and everything's good. We will have the greatest time. I'll come down in the evenings and walk with you and talk with you. We're going to have a great time, and I've made all these wonderful animals which can communicate with you. And it's unimaginable. I don't even think Hollywood could come close to showing the beauty and the peace and the solitude that was there in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went and broke the one rule. It was only one rule then. Don't eat from that tree. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then God tries again. Two rules. Follow me with your heart. And circumcise your children. But back to the thing about the animals being killed. He told Adam, and then Adam told Eve, the day that you eat of that tree, you will die. A spiritual death, you know? And the body was never meant to die either. We don't know how long Adam and Eve were in the garden. I think thousands of years. So when they ate of the tree, they were supposed to die, because when God speaks it, it has to happen. But in his mercy, he allowed their guilt to be transferred to an animal. He killed the animal himself, and he made skins to cover their nakedness, is to show a covering, because immediately they realized they were naked. Their innocence was gone. They knew all about sexuality, all the things of good and evil in the world. They knew, oh, we're naked. You know, so God let their guilt. He didn't want to kill his wonderful creation. He let their guilt be transferred onto an animal. He sacrificed the animal and he covered their nakedness, showing that that animal's death covered their sins. That is why it must continue here until God can bring about a perfect solution with his son, Jesus Christ. But it is a process, a well-orchestrated process. And that's what I've told you over and over again. This Bible is completely orchestrated and choreographed by God. Nothing is not supposed to be there. There's a reason for it. Some things seem out of place, but there's a reason.
Yes,
verse
sir.
9, Leviticus chapter 3, and he shall offer the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat thereof, and the whole rump. He shall take off hard by the backbone, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys it shall take away. Say, oh, why didn't it just sacrifice, throw the whole thing on the altar and burn it? Because they must work for it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a process that they must do. It can't be an easy thing. They had an easy thing. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. They didn't like easy. It wasn't easy enough to do easy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now they're going to do hard and complex. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Trying to do two steps. Here's 20.
That's right. Exactly. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire unto the Lord. If his offerings be a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hands upon the head of it, and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof on the altar round about. He shall offer thereof his offering, even offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys it shall take away. The priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for the sweet savor. All the fat is the Lord's, because the fat represents excess. God says, I will take care of all of your needs. And if your heart is good, I will give you the joys of your heart. But the fat represents excess, and you will not have it. And you know, when you got that big, beautiful ribeye steak in front of you, get a little fat down the edge of it. When you cut a piece of the meat, you always get a little bit piece of that fat to go with it, because it makes it taste so good. And God says, no, that's all mine, because that represents more than you need. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, and ye eat neither fat nor blood. Chapter 4, Book of Leviticus. God is establishing the law for his wayward children. You hear with Dave and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WBFF 97.7 FM. Glad you could make our acquaintance this morning. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according the sin of the people, and let him bring for his sin which he hath sinned a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. Did you realize you could sin by accident?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Completely unaware.
Yep. Yes, you can. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hands upon the bullock's head, and kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood, and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation, and the priest shall dip his finger in the blood, and sprinkle of the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. The priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet innocence before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation. Shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. He shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys it shall be take away. It was taken off from the bullock sacrifice of peace offering, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering. And the skin of the bullock, and all his flesh, with his head, and with his legs, with his inwards, and his dung, and the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with fire where the ashes are poured out shall he be burnt. Now you see, there's a different process for if you sin by accident.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, unaware, out of ignorance, what God said. You sin out of ignorance. But a sin is a sin is a sin to the law. If you sin one iota of the law, if you break one iota of the law, you might as well have broken all of it. When Christ comes along and makes the supreme perfect sacrifice and takes away the spiritual sins of the people, it's not exactly like that. Because Christ, he spoke in parables. And his disciples said, well, Lord, why do you speak in parables? And he basically said, so that they won't understand, because they're too ignorant to understand. And if they come to a full understanding of it and they don't accept it, then they're lost. But for now, there's a chance. Therefore, Christ put a little extra help on that sin as a sin as a sin, because he has his mercy and is able to differentiate between a conscious sin and an unconscious sin, where the law could not. The law does not differentiate. If your hand is dirty because you stuck it in a mud puddle, or you just suddenly look at it and it's dirty and you don't even know why it got dirty, yeah, it doesn't matter.
You brush the door at a door handle,
yes,
or something.
You are right. Sinful no matter what you've done with the law. With Christ, Christ is able to look at you and evaluate you. That's why, you know, I say sometimes, I've read this book 100 times through, and I'm fascinated by it, and I love it dearly. And sometimes, because all men are sinful, is a constant struggle between the spiritual man, which resides in the heart, and the mind of man. The Bible says mind is contrary to God. It's the spiritual man's job to bring the mind under control and focus his whole body, his whole person, toward God.
It's very Judaic, what you just said, by the way.
Really?
Yes, oh, very, very much so.
I wish I were Jewish.
Well, you got the Ruach and the Nefesh, yeah, right, which is the two parts, the Neshama, your soul.
Yeah.
And your job is, one of them is the divine side of your soul, one of them is the animalistic side of your soul. So the job is, while you're here, to teach the animalistic side of the soul to love divinity.
Oh, yes. The more I studied this Bible, and the more I learned, I became more responsible for my sin than that man over there that didn't study this Bible and learn, if that makes any sense at all. Paul, the greatest of all of the apostles, God left him with that thorn in his side. He asked him 3 times. He had a lust for women. If you stay with us, when we get to that, you're going to see it. A lust for women, and he asked Christ 3 times to take it away from him. And he says, no, because you need that thorn in your side to keep you humble. Because you, of all that are living now, could almost follow the law. If there was any man, maybe back to Moses, if there was any man that could follow the law, it would probably be you, Paul. And if you follow the law, it only leads to death. So, I got to leave that in there. I got to leave that torment in there to make you know that you are a sinful man and you need me. Because the law can give you a false impression that you don't need Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It can make you think that through all of these statutes, if you could possibly follow them, that you can make yourself holy, and it's absolutely impossible to do. Verse 13, chapter 4, Leviticus, and if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. And that could be as easy as a group of them get up one Sabbath morning and forget it's the Sabbath.
Yep.
And
step outside.
Start their normal,
yep,
routine. The other, what was it? Friday. Yes. Friday, I woke up. I have to get up at 6:30 for the morning show on WVFF. Woke up at 6:20, got up, went to the restroom, come back. I said, oh, it's Saturday. I'm going to lay back down and sleep for an hour. And then the alarm went off 8 minutes later, and I sat up in the bed and I said, why is it going off on Saturday? And then the fog went away. But it's that easy to sin. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a conscious, I'm going to go out and do this thing that I know I'm not supposed to do. Although we do that.
Right, right. Oh, I agree.
But the law, when it was put in place, is showing men that even the simplest of things that they do can be a transgression to God. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. The priest that is anointed shall bring the bullock's blood to the tabernacle of the congregation, and the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord, even before the veil. He shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar, which is before the Lord, that is in the tabernacle of the congregation. He shall pour out all the blood at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. He shall take all his fat from him and burn it upon the altar. He shall do with the bullocks as he did with the bullocks for the sin offering. He shall do it with this, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven them. That is a sacrifice for a large group. There are statutes for everything. He shall carry forth the bullock without the camp and burn him as he burned the first bullock. It is a sin offering for the congregation. When a ruler hath sinned and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord his God concerning things which should not be done, and is guilty, or if his sin wherein he hath sinned come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering a kid of the goats, a male without blemish.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned!